pile of flapjacks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need another beer.
Man, is this guy an idiot.
That's the percentage he could butter my biscuits.
Oh, I slide the butter on that shit. It is like, melt away all over here. And I feel like this is it.
Playing games with my heart.
My God, why am I a piece of shit? Can you answer the question? Or
no, I'd rather
no.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we'll let that simmer a little bit. A little bit longer. A little bit longer. Good. Final countdown. Only because I figured we might have been doing this tomorrow. Or yesterday. Which would have been appropriate. We didn't. Also, the final countdown for the World Juniors to get started this week. So I'm excited for that. And welcome to the show. And welcome my partner in crime, which is such a gay way of explaining things. Like, that's the worst thing. But
yeah, it's pretty gay. Yeah.
Sir Kevin Whelan himself.
Si, mi hermanos.
Hi.
I'm not gonna lie. I heard the end of the final countdown.
You did?
I did.
So it's there. It's there. I feel like it's coming.
I heard the end of it, but I was like, what? I'm like, ba-da-me-me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was very good.
Yeah. Maybe I need to get you to turn up your levels on the other side. Maybe that's
my levels are all the way up, buddy. I'm at a 10 right now.
You don't know shit. yeah. So we're back. Shit. And I actually wanted to start things off a little bit differently today, and I think I would like to put us on the spot here, and we're going to start off early, straight out of the gate, with the Suck-A-Dick Player of the Week. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, we're going right away.
Right away.
Right into it.
Right into it. And this All is right. where I will hit that music.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You want to suck a dick?
It's time now for the Suck a Dick Player of the Week.
Remember it. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a fuck.
Suck my wiggly dick.
Do you want to go first? You should go first because I feel like mine's going to lead into what we'll be talking about a little bit. What we should talk about right after this.
Okay.
Am I putting you on the spot? I have mine.
You are putting me on the spot. I wasn't officially ready, but give me one second here.
You know, a week isn't long enough to be ready. I understand.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Christmas and it's New Year's, and, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
You were in bed by 9:30 last night. Let's not.
Yeah, you're right. I have the idea. Okay, I have the idea for the player, for my Suck-A-Dick Player of the Week. I'm trying to figure out the exact name so I don't look like a total idiot.
Well, you already do, but...
No, I don't, because... All right, so my Suck-A-Dick Player of the Week is... And like I said, I'm trying to figure it out who exactly determines this. So it's bowl season. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
Did you know that it's bowl season?
Yes.
And I don't understand bowl season. You know why? Because no one fucking understands bowl season. What the fuck is going on here? Why is there 100 million different national championships, yet nobody knows what the fuck is going on? So I'm trying to determine exactly who it is. Is it the Sports Writers of America? Is it the NCAA? Is it the conglomerate of universities that determine what team is ranked number one in the nation? Because you can have, like, fucking 8 teams that are, like, fucking 16-0, and they all, none of them make it to the fucking national championship. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's totally ridiculous. And every year, I see these posts come up on TSN. Oh, it's time for the Sugar Bowl. It's time for the Tostitos Bowl. Who gives... What do these games even matter? How do they even matter? You could have the best team in the league not make it to the bowl game. Is that not correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I'm not sure how they sure the whole... It's a big, long system, apparently.
It's a ridiculous system. So I might not even be the only person here who doesn't understand how the fuck it works. So you're not going to have a... Like, at least in basketball, like, I understand in NCAA basketball, there's some ridiculousness. But at least there is, you know, you've got the tournament, right? So the top, 64 teams get into the tournament?
Yeah.
And you break it down, right? These teams, there's two teams that are playing in the Sugar Bowl right now. Now, is the Sugar Bowl the national championship? What bowl is the champ? Is it the Rose Bowl? What bowl is the championship?
They have their own SEC championship.
Yeah, everybody's so excited, like they win a bowl game, it's like winning the Super Bowl. But is it though? Is it? Because it's what are you going by?
Well, like you said, sponsors?
I like Tostitos. Does that make it the best bowl?
They have a bowl.
They have a bowl.
You know what? Cotton's got a bowl, all right?
Cotton has it. The Cotton Bowl? I mean, it sounds a little racist, but I mean...
It does, especially if Alabama's
playing
in it.
Don't Army and Navy have a bowl, too? Don't they play them each other every year? Fucking...
Who's that?
Army and Navy.
Army and Navy play in their bowl. Same bowl. Like, it's the same teams every time. It's like, why would you be excited about that? I don't really understand.
No. That's my sucker dick player of the week. I honestly, and maybe it's my fault, is I just do not understand college football. I enjoy college football, but I do not understand the ranking system. I do not understand the playoff system. And it's very hard for me to get into any of these because who gives a shit? Your team didn't make a bowl game. They could still be undefeated.
Yeah.
They could have had the best season on record, yet it's determined by a group of people that, well, they didn't play a hard enough schedule or they didn't play. Well, what? I don't understand. I don't understand why you don't take, you know, you got your Pac-10 and your and the Big East. Is that right? In college football?
Yes.
Yes. So you got, I mean, you take, you know, in my high school sports, we had single-A schools, double-A, triple-A, and 4A schools, like in Toronto and shit, where you had like, and it was based on the amount of people that were in that school. So why don't you have, you know, fucking 4A schools playing in a league against each other and have 3A schools playing in a league against, at least it would make, like, I have some semblance of sense.
Yeah.
Right now, it makes no sense to me at all. So, I mean, I see these posts for the Sugar Bowl and I could give a fuck. So that's my suck-a-dick player of the week.
All right, excellent. Well,
I did do some research, by the way, since you just threw me onto the bus. Like, you know, they had like 4 days to
Apparently, I sound like Sylvester Stallone.
You certainly don't look like him.
Yeah, no, I do not look like him. I look like him. I'm more like him in Copland than.
Yeah, Sylvester's younger, fatter brother.
Yeah, Copland when he played with the gut. Remember the gut? He grew a gut for Copland.
Yeah, the steroid gut.
Yeah,
I remember.
Well, I like it. That's true. It's always very confusing. I would love to get into that football. I don't really understand the whole logistics of it.
How do you back a team that you watch your team play and, you know, you've been rooting for them all year, they have a great year, yet they don't make a bowl game? And not even because they were eliminated from playoff contention. They just didn't make it because they weren't picked for the bowl game.
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
It does. It is. And it's a little bit... It's a weird thing to understand. It's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll agree with you. That is a good second deck player of the week. And mine, for the very last time in my life, at least I'm hoping, the second deck player of the week would be Brett fucking Hundley yet again.
Yes.
14 for 24, 172 yards, a blistering one touchdown with two interceptions. Just... Sucked. Callahan threw 5 for 7 when they threw him in. He was all doing a little bit better. I mean, Randall Cobb had a better reception than anything. It's pretty. He pisses me off. I don't like anything about Brett Hudley. I hope I don't hear from him again. This guy was an absolute disaster. Now, like we talked about before, this also leads going into something else, is that the Green Bay Packers are not as good as we think the Green Bay Packers are. I was just
about to go there.
Yeah, and it goes right into that, and I won't spend too much time on Brett Hudley. He is my Suck-A-Dick Player of the Week because I don't want to hear from him again. That's being said, transitioning right into the football talk, Green Bay is not as good as Green Bay thinks they are, and as far as I'm concerned, most of that organization has rid on the coattails of Rodgers for the entire duration that Rodgers has been in the hot seat there as a field general. And I'll tell you, man, it looked like a disaster. They're not good defensively. They're not good. They don't have an O-line there. Even the wide receivers are supposed to be pretty good. They seem to be dropping a lot of balls. I mean, when you look at the wide receiver core, it should be really good. You got Nelson Cobb and Devontae Adams, who that's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch there. And then you've got a really good tight end in not Montgomery, I can't remember his name there. Bennett, Martavius Bennett. So I mean, you got weapons. No running back though to speak of since for a long time. Eddie Lacy grew up to be a bust, as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, they've got a lot of issues, and I think they should fire Mike McCarthy. And what's his face up there as a manager?
See, now, as a guy who's not a Green Bay fan,
fire.
I'm not a fan. They're the only team I've ever seen play live. But that being said, man, I think I would say from an outsider's point of view, it's got to be very difficult for Brett Hudley to come into a position to try to take over the reins from Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you look at the season prior to Rodgers' injury, how many games did they win by Rodgers throwing some miracle pass in the fourth quarter? The signs were there that this was not a good team and that they were riding Aaron Rodgers the whole time. Like, Brett Hudley could very well be a very good run-of-the-mill quarterback. You know, is he a fucking top 10?
Garbage.
No, probably not.
Garbage.
But, you know, could he be a very good run-of-the-mill, you know, game-managing quarterback? It's
game changer?
Say, I mean, this kid may have got ruined by putting him in. And the expectations in Green Bay, I can't even imagine.
Have you ever watched the Green Bay
is not good. Like, you said it, and you have to admit, they are not good. And they haven't been good for a while. And when you're only winning games by the skin of your teeth because Rodgers throws, like, a 50-yard in-the-air pass, a miracle pass with 2 seconds left. I think that happened 2 or 3 times this year. And they only had, 6 wins?
Yeah.
So you could have easily went 3-13.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the realm that Green Bay could have went 3-13. That's how bad they are. When you don't have enough weapons that Aaron Rodgers can't even get you to get, like, can't get you wins, man, that's a red flag.
Well, it is. It is a red flag, and I honestly think that they've got problems, and I think they need to reassess what they got going on there, because I'm not buying.
I agree. I don't agree with your suck a dick player of the week on Brett Hudley, but I absolutely hate him. Mike McCarthy.
He's garbage.
With Mike McCarthy, I mean, absolutely, he's got to go, man. I mean, he's got to go, and the general manager's got to go. They got to start cleaning house, because there's no reason to have a team in Green Bay where, I mean, it's community owned. You're not having a hard time selling tickets. I've been to a Green Bay game, and it's ridiculous there. It's like the most fun atmosphere I've ever been at for a sporting event. It's the only football game I've ever seen, but it was amazing. They were sold the fuck out. You can't tell me you're having a hard time selling tickets in Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason that they don't have a good competitive team all the time. No reason.
They should be. They've got the skills to be that way. But I you know, it's funny. I don't want to beat on it too long. I know we got a transition, yeah. But when you look at McCarthy's playbook, it is a very weird and basic playbook. It's not. He calls some weird things at weird times, and he's an offensive-minded coach. And he's not a very good defensive-minded coach, and they've got issues there. They need to fix, and I think the first thing first is you fix the defensive side of the ball, and then you work your way up.
And you got to
do it fast because Rodgers is only 33 years old, and already 3 years old, and or 33 years old, and I don't think he's going to have the longevity as somebody like Brady.
No, you're running out of time.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think so. So can I bring up a topic that we can quickly chat on? Just I thought it was hilarious that Johnny Manziel has been approved for a possible contract with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. What do you think of that?
That's correct. Yes.
Is that hilarious? That's hilarious. What, Johnny Football in the Steel City?
Well, I was actually talking about this today or the other day, and actually, it's a good thing that he does sign, and hopefully he does sign with the team. Because what I'd be really worried about for the CFL is actually a little bit. It is funny, Johnny Manziel's going there, but let's be honest, he's going to sell tickets, and people are going to want to go see him. My biggest problem is if the other news in the world of sports is that Vince McMahon going after possibly starting the XFL again. And doesn't that seem
more
like... Oh, that
was
like,
such a failure the first time. Why would you bother?
Doesn't that seem like it would be more of a thing that Johnny Manziel would seem to want to excel in? And those type of players.
I guess, man, but it was so bad the first time. I mean, really, do we need to do this again? Remember how bad the XFL was?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
You remember? It was bad.
Doing a good job,
Dave. Oh, it was bad.
It was very bad, and it failed, but it is something that they're thinking about doing. And, if something like that were to happen again, if they were smart, they would look at trying to bury the CFL. And what better way to do it than to take every single subpar talent that's not in the NFL and put them in a different league?
Well, I mean, the CFL right now, I mean, I'm kind of surprised the CFL acts as its own entity. You know, it's very weird to me. Like, I like the CFL. I mean, as far as the CFL goes, I'm not going to say I watch a lot of games. But it seems like a good proving ground. Like, the NFL and the NBA both don't have, like minor leagues. Like, to develop draft picks.
No.
They bring them in and they put them on the practice squad and they develop them that way. And they feel like that's the best way. And, I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes getting in a game, and game situation, don't you think you'd want to have, like, first-round draft picks that you're like, okay, he's good, but he's not quite ready. You know, we need to mold this guy. We're going to get him some snaps down in the CFL. You know, like, these teams are owned by American teams. You know, the CFL expand to some American teams and have it as a, I'm guaranteeing you there's enough people to play minor league football. You know, I don't understand why they don't. And if the XFL wants to go after the CFL, the problem is Canadians don't care that much about American flash. We like our football to go and get drunk. And that'll be the difference.
Yeah. Well, that is the difference.
That's the difference. And that's my honest opinion. If we're going to break it down to, like, the XFL trying to take over the CFL, it won't happen. Because the Canadian Football League is literally just an excuse for us to go out in the cold and get drunk.
You'd be surprised.
On a Friday.
They're going to take money makers. And let's be honest here. If you're thinking about it, they're going to take the money makers that people want. The XFL is going to pay money. If somebody's going to throw, so let's say Johnny Manziel is only going to make what, $250,000, maybe $300,000.
He'll make five or six, I bet.
Maybe in the CFL, but okay. But who's to say the XFL doesn't go and say, here, we'll offer you $1 million. We'll offer you $1 million to revamp your career and try to get another shot and have the United States viewership. That's the problem, that you deserve. You're not getting that viewership in the United States at the CFL level. There are some people that can make it out of the CFL, don't get me wrong, but it's a very difficult thing to do, and I feel like they could offer them, a little bit something different.
I think the XFL, because it's not going to compete directly with the CFL, it's going to be competing against the NFL. It has no fucking chance. So, I mean, it just really has no fucking chance, man. I mean, the XFL is going to have a bunch of washed up fucking NFL players. It's going to have some decent CFL players that maybe they could sign for one or two seasons, and they'll all be back in the CFL. There's a reason it didn't work the first time. It's because nobody... We like our football, right? And I mean, the NFL is ingrained, man. It is. It's a culture. It's a part of the American culture. To bring in the XFL, it's just not. I can't see it happening. I really can't. I can't see. And how flashy it was, how ridiculous it was with like the stripper cheerleaders and it's not going to go, man. They won't make enough money, and they're competing directly against the NFL. Good luck.
Well. You never know. We'll see what happens with that. But yes,
imagine another hockey league coming in.
Well, no, but I mean, I understand.
Look what happened.
Look at the
KHL
tried it with the WHL or whatever it was. Whatever that was back in the late 70s there.
Where Gretzky played was the WHL.
Yeah.
Gretzky started in the WHL. The NBA had the ABA.
That's right.
It was the ABA. Yeah. And that shit to bed. I mean, Vince McMahon is a smart enough guy, and he must really think he has something. But I'm telling you, man, it's gonna be hard pressed to be going up against the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. But Johnny Manziel.
What about him?
Well, I'm just like I'm kind of curious at how he's gonna handle it up here in the frozen north.
I think he'll be fine.
You think he's going to be a dick still?
I think he's still... I don't know. He really needs to be humble, doesn't he? I mean...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You think he can, though? I think he's such a piece of shit. I don't think he can.
He's 26 years old, Kevin. He's 26 already, so it's like, you got to figure your shit out, bud.
And how many guys in the CFL are going to be gunning for Johnny Football? Mm. How many of these big linebackers are going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to tattoo you all over... all over the place.
Well, yeah, I think he's going to get
hit. Oh, he's going to get fucked up.
Somebody's going to want to bring him down for sure. And I think he, I don't know. We'll see when it happens. It's kind of one of those things I'm like, we'll see if it ever gets there. We'll talk about it towards the summer when he gets on the field and he starts practicing. And or when he actually signs. I don't believe he's actually signed with him.
No, he's just allowed to sign.
Yeah. So he has a certain amount of time to do that, and then and or he could pick another team.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think Hamilton has his rights though. So, all right, okay. Well, we won't beat this any longer.
No.
What else you got?
What I'd like to roll into is our buttery biscuits player of the week.
Oh.
And I'll hit that music.
It's time for the Buttery Biscuits Player of the Week.
What the shit biscuit?
I mean, that guy's got ability from the waist down, and he'll use it.
All right, Magic, your groin couldn't have felt any better.
Ooh, yummy.
Those tight ends are huge, and Tom loves those tight ends.
I can't believe it's not bothering.
Yo, biscuit.
You or me?
I'll go.
All right.
I'll go. Yeah.
All right, Kev, so you go.
I watched the some of the UFC card. So I mean, unfortunately, my buttery biscuit player of the week, Holly Holm, did not finish Cyborg.
New.
But she put up a good fight.
That was a good fight. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good fight. But my buttery biscuit player is from the UFC card, and it's Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Try that again.
Yeah. Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Right. That's really good. We should totally say his name like that now. Khabib.
Yeah. I mean,
Khabib. That was very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a savage. Man, he's a fucking animal, that guy. I don't know if you watched the highlights, but oh my god, dude, he's
relentless. he's a monster. I've watched a couple of his other fights,
dude,
there.
There's nobody at 155 that wants any fucking part of that guy. And they might talk a bunch of shit, but what he just did to Edson Barboza was fucking beautiful. It was a thing of beauty, man. Like, what a savage. That guy, he just doesn't stop, man. And he was punching Barboza. He punched him so many times, man. Barboza's just like, all right. Stop.
Right.
Just give me a second just to take a breather. And fucking Khabib's just fucking hammer fisted him from the top. Like, what a thing of beauty, man. What an absolute warrior that guy is. That guy, he's putting that white wig on. You've seen the wig.
Yes.
And guaranteed he buttered biscuits with the wig
on.
You
yes.
know, while he's like, but while he's buttering it, he's going, mana, 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 mana.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guaranteed.
Call me Khabib.
Call me Khabib. Yeah. Who's the man? You want some ground and pound? He's ground and pounding those biscuits.
Yeah, he is. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. All right. I like it. I like it a lot. My buttery biscuit player of the week is a bunch of players playing for the Winnipeg Jets. And
it took a long time to get there. I really wasn't sure where you were going with it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, I went with that. The Winnipeg Jets. It was a toss-up between two, honest to God, Winnipeg Jets or the Las Vegas Golden Knights. But I'll go with a little bit of edge over the Winnipeg Jets. Connor Hallebuck, I'm pretty sure he could butter a biscuit no problem after last week's with a 1.67 goals against and a 9.52 save percentage over three victories last week, including two over Edmonton, which... Man, did they ever dominate those games? And poor Edmonton, they didn't fare out very well after those games against them, and they're in big trouble. But I'd have to imagine right now the Winnipeg Jets flying high, the best team in Canada, and the record speaks for itself. And I gotta think they can get home into that grubby city, Winnipeg, and. You know, the real grinder type town, and butter a couple biscuits, and I don't know how they'd be doing that in the cold, this fucking cold, but I'm pretty sure they can melt some butter somewhere.
Oh, buddy, with that kind of heat, oh yeah, no.
They're playing good, man. The Winnipeg Jets are, for the first time in my life, they're relevant.
They are fucking super relevant.
It's
such a funny looking West right now.
Isn't
it's
it?
Such a funny-looking West. It's like, so you're looking at the West, and you got Winnipeg, Nashville, St. Louis, Vegas, Los Angeles, San Jose. Mm-hmm. So kind of weird, eh?
I mean,
you know, like the top, like the wild card, Dallas, Anaheim, Minnesota, Chicago, Calgary, Colorado. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the East is the East. You know, it's other than Pittsburgh. It's kind of, it's the East. Washington, New Jersey, New York, Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto. I mean, that seems about right.
Yeah.
You know, that's not too far off from the regular.
No.
No. No. It's a bit of a, but Winnipeg, man, I'm totally down with, Winnipeg is like that Canadian team I just have no problem with, right? They're like that guy at work that you only see every once in a while, but you're just like, hey, man. You like high five through the hallway, or like, what's up, brother? They're like, hey, you don't really know each other's name. You're just like, what's up, dude? And he's like, dude. And you just carry on, right?
Just plenty tolerable.
You have no ill will with dude whatsoever. He's just like,
no.
yeah.
But isn't that crazy,
that's Winnipeg,
though?
That's Winnipeg to me.
Vegas at top of the Pacific Division. I mean, that is astonishing to me. And seeing some of the teams that are in the bottom there. Chicago being one mm-hmm. in the Central that is not performing. Minnesota, another one that I had being
Minnesota
a lot
was
better.
Is surprising to me that they're as bad as they
you
are.
You know, Anaheim kind of hovering around the outside, seem to be doing well, as Calgary and Edmonton seem to be falling a little bit here. And well, Edmonton always was in the basement, but Calgary seems to be falling. Vancouver came back to earth.
It's crazy that Vegas is number one in the West.
Yeah, man. They're legit the real deal. Yeah. And you can't even say the last 10, they're 9-0-1 in the last 10. And everybody kept saying, listen, Vegas is going to fall off. Ah, they're having a good run. Ah, they're this. Ah, people will figure out how to win there. They're, what are they, the stat yesterday, 16-2-1 in Vegas? Nobody can win there. Toronto got their ass kicked there Sunday, 6-3. Like, it wasn't even a contest. They just came out high-flying early, and Toronto was chasing the rest of the game. They're just a really tough team to beat in Vegas, and I don't know if it's the Vegas Lights or whatever's going on there, but they seem to... The way I describe Vegas is this. Is if you're playing NHL 90 or NHL 2017 or whatever you're playing, and you got a team where you have like you got Crosby, you got 90, you got a 90s player, 95, 96, but then you have a bunch of lower players because you have salary cap. This team is built with a bunch of 85s, but it's 85s like all the way across the board. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no weak-ended parts. They've got such a really grit grinder type team with a ton of depth and
goaltending
and great goaltending, and they had great goaltending even when Fleury was out. By Malcolm Subban and even their third string, whom I don't know his name, and yeah, I mean the research is scoring by Perron and Neal, and I mean I would have to think like there's no way Golden Knights are like their whole plan was to get rid of those guys for more draft picks at the trade deadline. They can't. They couldn't possibly sell that right now, right? Like they couldn't. You couldn't possibly if they're still in the top of the West or at least damn near close.
Throw the season for draft picks.
For draft picks. When they already have like three times the amount of draft picks than anybody else. So it's not even like they're gonna lose out anyways. It's just they just don't. I don't think they wanted to lose those guys for nothing. They're both unrestricted free agents by the end of the season. So, I mean, you know, they got a lot of decisions to make, but, I mean, I would say you'd have to go for it right now.
I you know, man, I think that's a tough call. I mean, what do you do? Do you think Vegas is good enough to go deep in the playoffs?
If they stay atop of the West, I think they're deep enough to go. Like, I do. I don't know. They've got a great, great system going on there.
If I was the GM there, I would take one of those guys that's an unrestricted, one of them that you're not, you like, try to figure out which one you're really not going to be able to sign.
You know, they won seven in a row
yeah.
again. Like they've
but
done it.
That
like,
being said, man, with the team as good as they are, they may have a selling point with those two guys, right? They may have a selling point with some of their players that are unrestricted. They may want to fucking play there.
It's possible. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, if you win the cup, man, maybe if they make it deep in the playoffs, they might want to keep this fucking ball rolling, man. Fuck it. Let's stay in Vegas.
Let's see what's going on. I mean, I can't imagine Seattle's going to get lucky enough to do what they need to do if Seattle ever gets a team. I don't think they're going to have the same success.
God.
But Vegas,
I didn't think Vegas was going to do this well.
But I got to give props to them. They picked a very depth team, a very deep team would be the proper term. And, yeah, they're doing really well. One team I do want to jump on really quickly is maybe if you're sitting there and you have the standings popped up in front of you, there's something that glares to me right away.
Is it Ottawa?
No, it's not Ottawa. It is not Ottawa. Ottawa is not a surprise to me, but the reigning defending champions and
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's
Cup
kind
champion.
Of a surprise. But Pittsburgh
They're losing games, man. Like they're not
Pittsburgh
doing well.
Pittsburgh does this a lot though. They go through these like real slumps in the middle of the season.
I don't think ever this bad.
I think you'll see, man. You look back, you'll see Pittsburgh go through kind of goes through these slumps, and then all of a sudden they're just like, 12 in a row. Dude,
their differential, their scoring differential. Here's one to throw your socks on. -17 on the scoring differential. And high-powered offense is a -17? Where's the defense and goaltending? Not there either. They're in big trouble. Letang's a liability, and nobody wanted to trade for him. He's not as good as we thought he was. He's a puck-moving defenseman, but he's a huge liability on the back end, and it's starting to show on Pittsburgh that they don't have a deep defense at all, and it's going to hurt them.
I agree.
So we'll see come playoff. That would be an interesting one to see if they miss, because I don't know. I think New York's picking it up, but they got a lot of teams to jump over again. I mean, I think they can jump over Carolina, but I don't know about New York and Columbus. We'll see. They're not out of it by no stretch.
No.
It's still in the thick of things, but they're an interesting team. They've lost some key games and some games that they should have been winning. That's for sure. Hockey's fun.
Hockey is fun.
So, one of the topics that we want to talk about this week, and we'll move on from the interesting sports world that we usually talk about to the extremely interesting sports world that we don't talk about very often. But we got on a topic the other day. What WWE or WWF back in the day wrestling moves would actually hurt? And I thought we wanted to bring this up. I thought this would be a fun topic. This is an interesting, fun thing.
So anybody with a little brother or a cousin or any friends knows that the Boston Crab hurts like a motherfucker. Look, if you've ever been put in or put someone in the Boston Crab, it always ends with someone screaming and crying and running home, and you're getting the shit. I don't know why he's crying. I don't know. I don't know why he's upset. You're laughing because you've fucking been there.
You might have
been on the receiving end of the Boston Crab, or you've dished out a Boston Crab, and that shit hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it's it is. That would hurt. That would hurt for sure. We were talking about some other great moves, and I made a list of some moves. And some of them that would not hurt you, and some of them that would absolutely devastate you if you pulled it off correctly during a fight. But I know you probably have a few, but I'd like to start off with my first one.
All right.
JBL's clothesline from hell.
Michael Hayes screaming, "You gotta want it!" Oh, there's that clothesline from hell.
Oh, that would hurt so bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That guy's got meat hooks to his arm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. God. You clothesline someone like that just, like, straight down on the ground? Yeah, that's fucking life-ending.
That hurts. That hurts.
Oh, that's career ending. Okay, so you want to go shot for shot?
Okay.
So one that would be absolutely devastating would be fucking Bret Hart's the sharpshooter.
Hart! Oh, Bret Hart! Start your DVRs!
The move
that made
Mr. McMahon tap out at WrestleMania!
Look at this!
The sharpshooter! The sharpshooter!
The sharpshooter around the ring post. You ever see that one?
Oh, yeah, fucking.
Yeah, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
There's nothing that feels good about that.
No. Oh, fuck no.
All right, my next one would be. This one was an interesting one. I don't know if you remember this one at all, or if you were watching at the time, but this one would definitely hurt. It's called Curb Stomp. From
What's his face there? Yeah.
Yeah, the curb stomp would hurt for sure.
Oh, that would have to. The one that he did, I think they stopped doing it there. Right, he did the one, a curb stomp with the guy's face was over top of a bunch of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what match that was. But yeah.
That's
Rollins,
brutal.
Seth Rollins' move. But they took it out. He doesn't use it anymore. He's not allowed to, apparently. So.
Well, I could see that, man. The curb stomp would be pretty fucking brutal.
Right.
Okay, this would be the epic. This would be the best one. And it would be just a career ender. And it would be so hard to land, but if you actually did it, you would be the fucking, you would be the man. A little bit of Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, some sweet chin music.
Digging deep in the gates. It flew right into sweet chin music.
There's nothing. That's lights out, though. Every time that kick, and Shawn Michaels does it, and so does Dolph Ziggler, and it just looks like such, like, it's a knockout kick, man.
It's a knockout kick, man. That reverse heel kick.
Like, the guy's coming off the ropes, and you...
You gotta set him up, though. Like, the way Shawn used to do it was the best. Because he'd gotta be like staggering up, and he's just, like, stopping, and then just run across the ring for some fucking sweet chin music!
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, wicked.
That one's awesome. Another one that we like, but this one I'm not sold on that it would work all the time. But, man, is it cool, and I love the vines that come from it. The RKO.
I don't think the RKO
vines
would work at all.
I don't think it would work at all. The RKO vines are hilarious. I love their
hilarious. But the RKO is totally useless. You're basically just jumping on your back.
You're jumping on your back. And how is that? Like, somebody has to go with you. The only way it works is if you're off of a dock going into the water that they have nothing to stop themselves with,
like,
right?
Your girlfriend's walking by the pool.
But I mean, realistically, you couldn't do that on, because all the guy would have to do a step forward and shake you off. It wouldn't work in real life.
No.
I don't like it.
No. One that would be absolutely devastating. Are we still sticking with the devastation? Or are we going with ones that will not work?
Well, I do a little bit of both. Throw them in there every once in a while.
Okay, so one that will not work is the $1 million dream. It's not even a joke, fuck. It's just basically a gift wrap.
Some of those chokeholds or holds, man, they're worst.
It doesn't even work, man. It's even like not even a real choke. It's like fucking dude's falling asleep and he's got the $1 million dream on him. And that's not a real choke, Teddy.
The Cena, what's the Cena's crossface or whatever it is that he does?
Fuck yeah.
That's so brutal. He's just holding him with his forearms on his face. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
why are you doing that?
Like, there's
stop. This is getting embarrassing.
Yeah, no kidding. Another one that would be devastating, and if you could pull it off, in my opinion, we were talking about this the other day, the most devastating move I think that you could pull off, the one that would cause the most severe pain, the tombstone.
You will rest in peace.
Oh, the tombstone would be brutal. The tombstone would be fucking brutal. On the concrete, man, it'd be absolutely fucking brutal.
Oh, you get a guy over your back and you drop quickly enough with his head between your knees. Oh, it's done. Necks have been broken with that move.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so for me, like, visual effect-wise, like, if I was ever able to do one of these moves in a bar, like, if you're in a bar and a fight's breaking out and it's a group fight and you're about to break it down, I would tag you in, Bill, and we would fucking go the Dudley Boys, Devon, get the fucking table. Yeah.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
3D! There would be nothing better than to see you just pick a guy up and he's like looking at me and I'm like running off the fucking ropes like, fucking boom! Through the fucking table.
Through the table. Could you imagine?
Be just,
people would
that
be
would
going
be the greatest
insane.
Moment.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the greatest fucking moment. Fucking William! Get the tables!
Just center him out and just be like,
whoa, oh
yeah.
Fuck,
yes.
Dude, be
yeah.
so good. Yeah, that'd yeah. be awesome. And that would hurt like a motherfucker.
Oh yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, it would hurt.
Oh no, there's nothing cool about that fucking move, man. What's yeah. it called? It's not called. What is that move called?
3D.
3D.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, the 3D. Fucking the 3D would be absolutely fucking
that'd
vicious.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. One of the ones that that I think is one of the this would hurt if you could pull it off if you can get the guy to fall backwards but the backstabber the two knees to the back as you're going
oh
down.
Yeah oh
like
fuck
that
yeah.
would devastate somebody if you could get a hold of him and get
yeah.
him down
oh,
if you're
fuck
a big
yeah.
guy right
and
you could pull
my
him
age,
down
oh man
oh,
I'd be devastated
yeah that would just not that would not be good
I wouldn't be working for like a week man I'd be like oh fuck
oh man
all there's my vertebrae are fucking just oh I got a curved spine.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'd have muscular sclerosis after that. It'd be fucking brutal. Okay, most useless move. This is the most useless move
right.
in the history of wrestling. Wouldn't work anywhere at any time. Hulk Hogan, the fucking big boot with the leg drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the leg drop.
The leg
like,
drop
it's
does
such
nothing.
A nothing
it does
move,
absolutely
man.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It does nothing. It's totally useless.
Yeah.
If anything, it just fucks you up from dropping your ass on the concrete. And to have a guy run at you stupidly enough where you can hit him with the big boot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. That was an awful move.
Yeah.
I never even
oh,
liked... I didn't even like Macho Man's elbow drop.
Oh, dude. Do you know the Macho Man's elbow? He's one of the only WWE superstars to never miss his finishing move.
Really?
Yeah. Look that up, man. The Macho right. Man, whenever he got to the top rope to throw the elbow, he landed it.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. The Macho Man was legit, man, back in the day. You want to watch something hilarious? Watch the Macho Man Cream of the Crop video. I don't know if you ever seen this,
no,
but he like goes in the back and he's got like a bunch of those coffee creamers in his hand, and he's like, "Oh, Mean Gene, the cream rises to the top," and he's like pulling these little coffee creamers out and like throwing them at Mean Gene, and Mean Gene's like, "Where the fuck are you getting these things from?" He's like, "Oh, the president of the World Wrestling Federation, Jack Tunney." Ah. And he's pulling the cream out and he's throwing it at him. It's
oh,
the greatest thing I've ever seen. Whenever you need a good laugh, look at Macho Man Randy Savage interviews. Oh, dude, it picks you right up.
I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait a minute, friend.
And there is no doubt about it. Yeah, you mean Gene Okerlund. You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Fuck, what a showman. What a showman.
Yeah, well... That's a good one. I another one that doesn't we were talking about the other day. One of the most famous moves in wrestling, the Stone Cold Stunner. Is an absolutely useless move.
useless. Terribly useless. You're basically, like you said, you're basically just bending over.
Yeah, like, I don't get that at all. Like,
so unless you're Stone Cold Stunner Grandma, and you broke her hip by making her bend over that far.
Oh, man. It's not good.
Yeah, no, dude, it's over. It's fucking over. Yeah, man, you've done nothing but hurt yourself. I dare you. I double dare you to Stone Cold Stunner someone on the concrete.
You hurt yourself. Nah. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. There's nothing fun about that.
But I don't care. Stone Cold?
He was awesome.
Oh, man. One of the greatest.
Oh, he was awesome. I mean, between him and The Rock, they were just one of the greatest. Two different personalities, but...
What a great generation of WWE, though.
So
what a great time to be a WWE fan. Like, you had DX... You had Stone Cold, you had The Rock, you had Mankind, you had The Undertaker, you had Kane.
They just had the good characters. It was the characters that they don't have.
So many good characters. You had the Hardy Boys, you had Christian and Edge, who don't get enough respect for how good they actually were. Edge was really, really good, and so was Christian.
Christian, I was going to be one of my other devastating moves that I don't think you can ever pull it off unless the guy was standing there. But the kill switch, Christian's kill switch.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like it's a weird move because you have to like kind of like line him up in the back, but it would hurt his face first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, see, so then that would tie into mine then. So mine is a double whammy from none other than The Game. So the pedigree would be fucking brutal.
Yeah.
In real life. Brutal.
But how do you get him to go down, though? How do you get a guy to go down, though?
Not only that. Okay, so he did the pedigree as his finishing move, but for a while there, his finishing move was the sledgehammer to the head.
Yes.
That's murder.
Yeah, that's murder. That's murder.
That's murder. You go around hitting people in the head with fucking 10-pound sledgehammers, you are killing people. Right.
To be honest, I don't know how many people would be able to take a steel chair.
Oh, God, no. Oh, my God. I would cradle. You know how bad it would fuck my neck up? You ever, like, stand up into something?
Oh, my
God. Just, like, stand up into something, like, hit your head on something. It just sends a shock down your vertebrae, and you're like, oh, fuck.
And back when they did it on the head, too. Like, they don't do it in the head anymore.
Yeah.
But they – I think the precedent after Eddie Guerrero incident was
those guys were fucking savages. Like we talked about it back the other day, but like I remember watching like the Mankind when Mick Foley jumped off the cage against the Undertaker. That was one of the craziest things I ever saw. And then after that, man, he really just upped the ante. Like every generation up to that point, you know, Jimmy Snuka was flying off the top rope. Then the Macho Man took it a little bit farther. Then the Heartbreak Kid, the Rockers, remember they took it? Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels took it. They were doing the double elbow off the ropes. They were, you know, every generation progressively took it higher. Then it almost seemed like it reached a point with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy took it to the point
where
he pushed it. He pushed the limits
swan song
of what the human body could take.
The swan song or swanton whatever it is. That is one of like, I don't care. A guy jumps off a 25-foot ladder and lands on you. You're going to hurt, I think.
That's a
another good one that used to bring it really high. That I like was Rob Van Dam's The Frog Splash.
Oh.
Man, could he do a frog splash.
Oh, fuck, man. He'd go so far. He'd get him, halfway through the ring.
Oh, yeah, like, way across. He would jump. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, those had to have hurt. Like,
It's amazing, like, the difference. Like, you have, like, a Rob Van Dam who was, like, so physically talented, but he was never really that good on the mic.
Not good on the mic, yeah.
But then you have, like, The Rock, who's one of his finishing moves was the People's Elbow.
Yes.
Remember the People's Elbow?
Yes.
He's just, like,
of course
he'd
I
just
do.
Stand
one
up
of the
over,
most, it's the most electrifying move in sports
smelling,
entertainment history.
Starts,
yeah, the most electrifying move.
Oh, the most electrifying move in sports entertainment! Then he'd pull that fucking elbow pad off, throw it in the crowd, and he'd do that fucking, and he'd come up, and he'd remember when he did it to Ric Flair, and he came off the ropes, and he was doing that Ric Flair, like, that walk, like, towards Ric Flair, you know, that, boom, elbow! Fucking, just that move, man. unbelievable.
It was so much fun to do, but it was a useless move. I mean,
you couldn't have somebody lie there long enough.
No, I know.
If you had somebody
unconscious
on the ground that long, and you did the people's elbow to them.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's so much talk about. There's so much Hollywood into that move, right? It's just like it's gotta be like
so much, but
the big lead up. It's like
fun, man.
Like John Cena's five knuckle shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing. Same. You can't see me.
Yeah. We can all see you, John.
We can see you. It's not a good move. Stick with the F or the attitude adjustment, which is basically the
F5.
it's a little bit different. The F5, he goes on his side. Attitude adjustment, he flips him over.
It's an F5.
It's not. If you look at it, the F5
does it. Yeah, it is a little
F5
different.
Does
it
a spin. And the attitude does a flip.
Mm.
It's different. It's different.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, it's damn true.
Oh, it's damn true.
Oh, did he just do it? Scoop, scoop.
Yeah. Oh, no, you did.
Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah.
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 Nice.
Well, that was fun. That was fun. One more move I wanted to say that would be really devastating. If you had a guy that was kind of keeled over and you ran up to him and pulled off the Billy Gunn's Famouser.
Billy setting him up. Famouser! The Famouser and Eddie Guerrero!
Oh, fuck. What was the Road Dogg's finishing move? Remember him?
But he had that stupid, didn't he? Box. I can't remember his move.
He might have boxed, yeah. Remember, he was so funny on the mic, man. He was just like, what, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know? Somebody better call somebody.
Oh, fucking so good, man. The Road Dog.
Jesse James, the badass Billy Gunn.
The China with her small man penis.
Vagina.
And X-Pac, the 1-2-3 kid.
Vagina. Oh, man, China. That was a long time ago.
Vagina.
Yeah.
Do you ever see your porn?
Of course.
Oh God.
Of course.
It's so bad.
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal.
Oh my God.
There are noises I didn't know.
God, she's terrifying. This is the scariest thing, man. It's like, it's like watching an animal get eaten in the wild.
It's
nature, man. It's just too much. It's a little bit real coming at you.
Oh, real.
That was fun.
That was fun.
That was one of our funnest episodes, I think.
That was something different for the crowd.
Yeah, for Kev.
It was funny. I'll mention this. My parents listened to the show last week. And
no shit.
Yeah, and I thought it was the worst show we did ever. And they only listened to like the first 20 minutes. And they were like, that sucked. And I was like, well, did you listen to the whole thing? Because like... it was a pretty good show. We had a slow start. We had some technical difficulties. No, these guys were all over the place in the first 20 minutes. And I was just like, you guys didn't get any sports. And I'm like, no, we were kind of shooting the shit on other stuff. I'm like, do you go back to listen? And I'm like, well, you got to listen to the whole damn show. You can't pick your spots. No, that wasn't good.
All right. Well, we suck.
Yeah, we sucked. We had our first, you guys suck, and it came from my parents. Very supportive. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot for support.
Thumbs up
for
you.
Support.
I know they won't get to minute 55, so I'm pretty sure they won't hear it.
No, that's probably fair enough. All right, challenge accepted, Bill Senior. I'm bringing the heat now.
Yeah.
I'm coming with it. You think we suck now? Oh yeah, I'm bringing it now.
It wasn't a massively comedic episode, but informative nonetheless.
Informative. I thought this was good.
Sorry.
I think you'll see when you go into the editing, this will be one of our better ones.
Well, I was clean. I was moving along. So, yeah, it was good. Yeah. And, I think we'll have some more good shit to talk about. We got a lot of things going up. We got NFL football playoffs. That'll be fun to hit. I'm sure we'll be glued to that. Of course, we got the rest of the World Juniors coming up this week. And coming up soon, I know I like it, even though the NHL players aren't going to be in it, but the Olympic hockey and Olympic things going on with that, those could be a couple of fun episodes. I know I like to watch it. I don't know about yourself.
I do. I love watching Olympic hockey.
Anything Olympics, really. I think I'll be able to...
It's the greatest time of the year.
Anything Olympics that have Canada in it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If there's no Canada in it, and I couldn't give a shit that somebody's not in.
Do you think I want to watch Belarus do skeet shooting?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like what do you call it? The 10K skeet shoot where they got to do, like, what is it? Like, I don't even know what the hell that is. Like, it's just, like, let's ski for a little while.
They just took,
we'll
like,
shoot shit, ski for a little while, shoot shit, ski for a little while.
You're going to cross-country ski, then you're going to play ping pong, you're going to shoot this thing, and then you're going to run back over. You gotta hold your breath for like fuck as long as you can.
10 jumping jacks.
Yeah. Gonna do a bunch of V sit-ups. Fucking working the core. What are we doing? What is this, CrossFit?
Yeah.
It's like, this is the original CrossFit. It's just like, yeah.
I don't know. It's a funny
thing.
Yeah,
you gotta skin a beaver and shit. Fucking, it's good to go.
Yeah, it's good to go. All right, well, that was a good one, and I'll probably get this up tomorrow, and good times
great,
in the nursery, right?
Great stuff, my friend, great stuff.
All right.
All right, buddy.
That being said, we'll chat soon.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
Later, bye.
Later.
All right, well, that's our show, and I'd just like to remind everybody that now you can catch us on a podcast site called CastBox. Download it on your phone or any kind of application and take us anywhere. Find out my name or the name of the show, Where There Is a Will, There Is a Whalen, and you'll be able to, and then hit subscribe. Don't forget to do that, and you'll be able to take us anywhere you want, anytime, without having to use Wi-Fi, streaming on YouTube. You still will be able to find us on YouTube. Still have our shows posted there as well. Feel free to subscribe. Message us anything you want.